In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's funny to talk about this today since we're getting yet another round of the lovely white stuff. But one of the things you should know about me is that I'm terrified of thunderstorms. Straight up terror. I don't like thunderstorms. I'm not as bad as my great-grandma Dellinger. Down in Arkansas, this is my grandpa's mom, Della, who used to make my grandpa and his four sisters dress in their Sunday best and hide under the bed with her so that if a tornado came up and killed them, they'd be ready for the undertaker. She was a special lady. But I don't like thunderstorms. I finally can pinpoint it back to the summer I was four, and we lived in Reed City. And they used the civil alert sirens, also known as the tornado sirens, to call the volunteer fire department in, except for it was the middle of the night and the conditions were just right, and mom and dad shucked us to the basement. I think that's what did it. I used to have nightmares about tornadoes dancing in our dining room, so there we go. But anyway, I remember one time, the most uneasy I've ever felt in a thunderstorm. Jonathan's sophomore year of high school? Because I was a student at Alma College, and I had gone downstate for football game or something that he was playing in, and I was coming back to Alma. And my normal route between home and here is I-75 to M-57 to 127, and there you go. I got off of I-75 and turned on to M-57, and it's a bank of black. And I'm listening to the radio. And, you know, 57 there runs between, you know, Genesee County, Saginaw County, Gratiot County. And the former route, before I started doing 57, used to be to run across 21. And I'm listening to the radio, and Shiawassee County is under a tornado warning. And Clinton County is under a tornado warning. And I'm like, oh man, tornadoes move from that direction this way. Jesus, Moses. I remember being on the phone with friends at the school going, okay, what's the weather doing in Alma? Do I need to turn and go north to 46 and get north of this? No, that didn't help because Clare County was under a tornado watch and Tuscola County was under a tornado warning over in the Thumb. And they said, no, just keep coming. I was the most terrified I'd ever been driving down the road. I knew that when I turned on to 57, it felt like I was turning toward a darker situation. Our gospel lesson this morning is a turn toward a darker situation in Jesus' life. The gospel reading this morning starts out by giving us a time frame of 6 days later. And as Lydia said, this is a 6.5-year-old, she says, well, 6 days later than what? It's a valid question. 6 days after Jesus had asked the disciples, who do they say I am? Well, some say you're the prophet. Some say, no. Well, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you're the Messiah. And Jesus quickly told the disciples, yeah, but don't say anything. And then proceeded to foretell the events of Holy Week and his own crucifixion and that he would come again, that he would raise from the dead. So here we are, 6 days later, a week later, and Jesus takes Peter and James and John up the mountain, and the transfiguration happens. It's a miracle, and it's a different kind of miracle because it didn't happen. Jesus didn't cause the miracle. He was the recipient of the miracle. It happened to him. Jesus, who was born to be the light of the world, now looks like a different kind of light. He who was your normal guy, go have a beer with kind of thing, is now glowing like a neon light bulb. Jesus changed right there, right before the disciples' eyes. And if that wasn't scary enough, here's Elijah and here's Moses. Now, the disciples were Jewish. They knew who these guys were. I mean, this is straight out of history. And it shocked them. It terrified them. What? Do you imagine that if you were standing there with your best bud and all of a sudden he started glowing like a Christmas tree, and then the next thing you know, you've got Granddaddy and Uncle Joe standing next to him, and they'd been dead for 300 years? Yeah, you'd hit the ground scared too. Well, Peter. Oh, sweet Peter, who missed the mark so many times. He'd always try and end up just off of where he was supposed to be. He did what so many of us do and what I am infamous for. He got the nervous chatters going on. He had to fill the stunned, nervous silence with speech. Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let's make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Yeah. Scripture explains it, that they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what else to say. He had no clue. He was so scared. How many of us have been in that place? Terrified. So, so terrified. So scared, so uncomfortable, that we fill the space with nervous chatter. I remember on that absolute darkest night of my life, after Mom had left to go back downstate, and all of my sorority sisters and the other student ministry coordinators were all sitting in the room, and I'm sitting there talking. And one of them said, Christina, you don't have to find something to say. And I remember my response was, well, then you better find something to say, because I'm going to need to fill the silence here. I think it's true that in the darkest hours is often where we find those major turning points in our lives. If we're honest with ourselves, those dark times are often when we thought we knew where we were going, and then somebody flipped off the light and threw up a roadblock. And we had to turn. We didn't have a choice. Some of those turning points, some of those roadblocks in the dark are the ones that sometimes make us hit the ground and call out to our God, overcome with fear, much like the guys on the mountaintop. I think about those times it made us question what on earth God was doing. Why did that person get sick? Why didn't I pass that class? Why did that deer have to come jumping out of the cornfield? Why didn't this relationship work? Why did that person have to die? Why? 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 There are times when things happen and it makes us question everything we thought we knew. There are times when we can see it coming too. I mean, it's like turning down 57 and seeing the big storm clouds. It's like, yeah. You know you're going to get in the middle of it. You know that you know that's the only route you have to take. It's the only path that we have that we're on. And so those are the times when we take pause. And those are the times that in later days when we look back and reflect, we can see how those points became major, major turning points and changed our course to where we are now. And sometimes it hurts. Ooh, sometimes it's uncomfortable and it's painful and it's messy and it's not all the sunshine and rainbows and smiles and love and joy and happiness that we all want to stay in. Sometimes the future looks like those storm clouds off in the distance. The truth is, if we didn't experience the discomfort, we'd never grow. They call them growing pains for a reason. If we stayed exactly the same and exactly always happy and exactly in our little spot, then we're not getting out there and we're not growing and we're not getting beyond. Speaking from my own experience, the moments when I feel I've grown the most and changed the most were those times when it was the darkest and I was the most afraid. Because it was in those moments when I really, truly needed the light of Christ the most to illuminate the shadows, to shine on the path where I was supposed to be going. You see, at Christmas, Jesus was born to be the light of the world. The stable, or the manger's still up there. Tiny baby, born in a barn, born to be the light of the world. And then the transfiguration happened, and he transformed. And he went from being like you and me to being full of the light of God. He always had it, just like we always have it. But now it was shown. Now it was visible. When the disciples looked up, they were scared. And the voice comes up, and then all of a sudden, and cowering in fear. And then when they looked up, he was just Jesus again. He was just their friend and their teacher. He was Jesus again. He was not glowing anymore. And the ghosts had disappeared and gone back to wherever, and the cloud had dissipated. Jesus was at a turning point. Jesus' life was at a turning point, and he knew it. Jesus was at a turning point, and he said, I don't know how else to show than to take them with me. And say, here it is. He knew. He told his disciples he knew. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. But we're not Good Friday people. It doesn't stop on Good Friday. The story ends on Easter and continues through Easter. We're turning from Epiphany. From Christmas and the light of that and Epiphany and the baptism and the baby Jesus and the young man Jesus, and now we're turning toward adult Jesus heading for the cross. And it gets dark. It gets painful. But he doesn't stay on the cross. The cross is not the end of the story, the loaded cross. It's an empty cross we look at. It's an empty cross we remember, and it's an empty tomb we celebrate. But that loses something if we don't go through the pain of Lent, if we don't go through the hardship, if we don't go through remembering that Jesus walked this path. We're going to sing the hymn in a few weeks, Jesus Walked This Lonesome Valley. So maybe what we best do, which I need to work on myself, is to get the focus off of me. Paul said it in the reading from 2 Corinthians. Paul reminds us that Christ is the light, that Christ is the image of God, that God had said the light would shine out from the darkness. And friends, that light is the same light that illumines our dark places today. So here we stand at another bend in a road, making the turn toward what makes us truly unique in our faith. May we remember that we carry that light inside of us. that light came for us to illumine our dark places. May we remember that the light does not come from us, but it comes from God. May we remember that, the dark gets scary, and the shadows are not fun, but Christ is our light. And with renewed conviction in that, may we boldly go into our path through Lent. May we remember what happened and why it happened. And may we come through with a stronger relationship with our Lord. Amen.